our next session, and it is magic in mentoring. And if you're in the wrong session, you might want to stay, because mentoring's not such a bad thing. It's a great thing, and many of us have had mentors, and many of us are mentors. So my name is Lisa Morzel, and I'm just the moderator here. And our guest today is Kimberly Moore, and she is going to speak with us about mentoring. And I'm going to just start off with some questions about what it is. I want to ask her, Kimberly, what's your background, and how is it that you got into mentoring, and why is it so important to mentor?
Okay, great. Well, hi, everyone. I am Kimberly Moore. I'm CEO and co-founder of a tech startup, early stage tech startup called GoTogether. And what we do is we provide an end-to-end planning platform for customers whose users are really interested in having a closed community in order to organize carpooling, walking, biking, in some cities, the transit. And our first customers that we're focused on are schools. There's some massive things happening in student transportation. But before I was CEO of GoTogether, I've had a really long history of mentoring some young ladies that I met in juvenile detention. So my experience is probably about 15 years of mentoring, three of which I met those young ladies 14 years in, and still am very connected to them today. So I'm going to read you the definition of mentoring. The dictionary says, I have a couple of different. So the dictionary says that mentoring is to advise or train someone, especially a younger colleague. Here's another definition. Mentorship is a relationship in which a more experienced or more knowledgeable person helps to guide a less experienced or less knowledgeable person, and that the mentor may be older or younger than the person being mentored, but that he or she must have a certain area of expertise. Well, in my case, mentoring Norma, I'll talk about her first, in this juvenile justice context, was really about seeing not only her, but a whole group of particularly young women who found themselves in a precarious situation. I live in the D.C. metropolitan area, and in Virginia, which is where we had programming in this juvenile detention center, in Virginia, it's against the law for kids to skip school, truancy. There's a real truancy law. And after a certain amount of times, that young person is brought into the juvenile justice system. And so it becomes like a criminalized experience now, since they're brought to the juvenile detention center. And what I discovered, not only with the girls, but also with the young men, is that it's really a lack of direction, right? And a lack of not being connected to someone who's seeing them spiraling out of what's happening in their lives and not having the ability to really connect with them and understand them and to give them their space to say whatever they're going to say. Oftentimes very crazy things, you know, as an adult who was once a young person, you know, we say things as though adults don't really understand or have an experience being a teenager. But they want their voice, right? And even more in this millennial generation and Gen Z, they have a very strong sense of, I know who I am and I'm going to tell you who that is. So in this context, mentoring came on a weekly experience of just gathering with the young ladies that were in there and kind of hearing about life. So my expertise in this particular sense was life, how to grow up as a young woman, how to, you know, build friendships with guys, how to see that you have boundary issues, you know, you let people take advantage of you and how to not do that. And in the case of Norma, she was actually different from the majority of the girls that were in the juvenile detention in that she was an illegal immigrant in the United States. She had been here at that point 16 years. And her mother was also an illegal immigrant. She has four younger sisters. They are born in the U.S. And her mother really was not able to really guide her. I mean, she was working very hard to provide life for them. A house, a way to get around, which wasn't necessarily a car, but being able to put together rides so they could get where they need to go. And she didn't have someone who could advocate for her in any situation. Her mother was just mainly focused on providing a place for them to live, food to eat, and the ability for them to get around. My relationship with Norma really started with her trying to figure out life. And what is she going to do? I mean, when you get involved with the juvenile justice system, even if at this age, truancy, and in her case, now she did have 7 felony assault charges against her. 3 of them were against Arlington County Police, who were actually trying to take her to a group home she didn't want to go. And so she found herself faced with a really big decision. You know, I've got to do something here. I'm going to spiral out of control, and something's wrong, and I don't know how to fix it. So the first thing that I think happens in mentoring is this ability to develop trust with the person, right? The ability to let that person not feel judged, even though the things that they could be saying are ridiculous or just you just have to give people a place to just say what's on their mind and be able to feel like they're not going to be judged. So that was probably one thing that she would see, that I wasn't going to judge her, right? You know, her reasons for why she was doing what she was doing, they just didn't make any sense. But I understood, you know, there were her ways of coping. And so next, after seeing that she wasn't going to be judged, I think that opened the door for her to tell me, the things that were impacting her life that were causing her to do or not do something. And so, it takes a while when you're mentoring someone to just build that relationship. But I think the first thing is to be able to demonstrate trust and to let that person know, one, their secrets are safe with you. Now, in this context, any of those young people, if they had told me something that as a person volunteering there, I have to report certain things that I hear. If they, tell me they've been abused, I have to report that. And other things that are required by law, I have to report. So I always disclose that to them to say, hey, listen, if you ever communicate this to me, know that I have to report it. But in her case, she didn't have those issues. She really was struggling with life and trying to figure it out. She had a huge decision to make, and she was in a program 6 months. And after that 6 months, she was either going to go to juvenile prison or she was going to be released into the community in a group home. So she made some pretty critical decisions, some without my help at all, some just kind of taking in some of the counseling she was getting in the program. But they were pretty dramatic. And so I think that's kind of how it started for me. And I'll talk about other examples of getting into a relationship with
them. So are you still in contact with Norma?
Absolutely. Got a text from her last night. I want to fast forward. So Norma today is a third-year pharmacy student. And she graduated from high school by the hair of her chinny chin chin, okay? Because when she was in juvenile detention, the first major decision that she made was, I've got to focus on my education. Like, if I don't graduate from high school, I'll get a job that I won't be able to feed myself. And she just said, I'm going to finish. And it was a struggle. I was her official mentor, so I could call her teacher and her guidance counselor and talk with them. And having that advocacy for her that her mother was not able to provide her. And so she did graduate and decided she was good at hair, she'd get her cosmetology license. But even after getting that, she realized, I can't do this for the rest of my life. I've got to do something else. So she chose to go to community college, right? Now, one thing you should know about Norma is she's 4'9", Latina young lady. I mean, she is just got a personality that's just really, really exciting and frustrating at sometimes too. When she gets focused on something, she is focused. Now, sometimes she takes on more than she can really handle. And I say, you know, Norma, your first year in community college, remember high school, okay? You remember high school, right? But she would take 18 credits. And I tried to help her understand the purpose of your first year in college is to get used to college, right? Don't overload your schedule so that you can, you know, set yourself up maybe to fail. So she, you know, persevered, made some adjustments later, graduated from community college, went on to Old Dominion University, got a degree in biology, and at first she thought she was going into nursing, but then decided pharmacy, and she's a third-year student. She works at a hospital pharmacy part-time as well. So super proud of her. She actually is the first person in her family to buy a car. And the reason why we're texting back and forth is she's about to buy a house.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So tell us some more about other women that you've really positively affected.
Yeah.
And maybe some failures, people who just you weren't able to connect with and just kind of frustrated and fell off.
Yeah. So I'll share one other really positive experience. Asia, she is about the same. She's about 30 also. And I met her in juvenile detention as well. She was a 4.0 student in her high school, a swimming phenom at her school. She lived in Pittsburgh. And she got connected with the guy and just got really taken out of her way. You know, she ran away with him. It was just a bad situation. She ended up in Arlington. Her parents reported her. She's being raised by her grandparents. Reported her missing, and just like the craziest story where, you know, a criminal gets stopped because their light is out on their car, not because they're committing a crime. Well, that's what happened to her. She's riding with this gentleman. They had a light out on their car. When they stopped it, he had a record, and so they figured out she was this missing teenager. So she and I also developed a great friendship. Developed a great friendship with her grandparents as well, and advocated for her at court and allowed her to take part in a program to be able to have a record expunged. Really, really, she also made a very critical decision that her problem was not that she wasn't smart enough, but she was associating with a crowd of people that were taking her in the wrong direction. So once she got back home to Pittsburgh, she too decided, I've got to figure out what I'm going to do next. She actually got accepted into college and got a full ride, but she thought it was fake. She said, I'm going to send you the letter. I tried to get her faxed it to, but she mailed it. I don't think this is real, Mrs. Moore. I just don't think it's real. I was like, no one sends you a letter like that. This is like Toledo University. This is not like your community. This is real. So we figured out it was real. She did the college visit, and she was overwhelmed by the whole experience. And she did not go. I did everything in my power to try to talk her like, oh, my gosh. This doesn't happen. Please go for a semester. I could not talk her into going. So she started working. And she's been working ever since at PNC Bank in Pittsburgh. She's now manager of a department, and she's now back in school. So even our distance, you know, did not completely impact our time. She also, again, relationships were her issue, and we went back and forth. And like young people, you know, when they don't want to talk to you, they don't answer your phone call, they don't respond to your text, you know. So we went through months of that together.
So how did you get into this? How did you become a mentor? And I would assume you must have had some people in your life that helped you make some critical decisions that brought you here.
Yeah,
and
so
where you are today.
Well, interestingly enough, I had school teachers in high school who kind of helped me think about college. My parents, not so much. So I had a few teachers that were interested in my success. But I think that once my background is primarily in wireless technology. I have a 15-year experience at Verizon Wireless. I was the executive director for the federal government division for them. And one of my bosses had an executive coach. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty neat thing. The company actually assigned him a coach. And actually, it wasn't for a good reason, as far as he would be concerned. He's vice president of a region, great guy, smart guy, but he just did not know how to work with his team. They were getting reports back at headquarters that while people liked working for him because he was smart and successful in his role, he just was really not doing well with us. And basically what I would say, what my experience was, is that as in that role with him, I was a director. I had the title, but I absolutely did not have the authority, right? So my budget at that time was like, I don't know, $3 million in sales, had a small team, and I couldn't even sign off on their expense reports. Like, I'd have to send him expense reports. He was a micromanager times 100, and he had a code. So if he texts you with his cell phone number, you call him when you're free. If he texts you and it's 911, you stop whatever you're doing and you call him. And it was just, it's not productive. All of us, he had like 8 reports, you know, someone managing the network for Washington, D.C., someone responsible for marketing. I mean, these people had really significant responsibilities, but we just were hamstrung in our ability to be able to lead our teams, and it was just visible. I mean, it was embarrassing because we'd have to say, well, I have to ask Bob if your expense report is ready. It just was terrible. So with that feedback, the executives assigned him an executive coach, and he interviewed not everybody on the team, but a few of us. And it was that experience that I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. I was actually pretty impressed that my boss would be willing to have an executive coach and willing for us to be interviewed. That takes an incredible amount of humility, right? But that experience showed me, wow, even beyond, you know, when you're growing up, somebody can help you be better. And so from that experience, I actually got a coach when I was running into a problem with a guy on my team where I felt like we were just talking past each other. And he was a great guy, great performer. I was not the only person having a problem with him. Several of the other managers that worked alongside him were too. And we needed to fix it. I could have fired him, but that wasn't the answer. He was really good at what he did. The communication piece was really missing. So I hired a coach to help me work with him.
So we're going to continue this conversation, but I have something I'm supposed to read that I should have read at the beginning of this. And in this CWA session, we will utilize both the CWA app and a note card system to receive questions from the audience. To ask a question in the app, simply select this session in the schedule, tap Q&A, and then insert and send your question. You may also raise your hand to request a note card and pencil from one of our producers, and we have them at either side. Raise your hand. You must write legibly, and if you're a student or attending remotely, please note this is in your question. Make sure your questions are brief and to the point. So let's go back to discussing mentoring. So what would you think about, I mean, it seems to me we need more mentors in the world because, you know, you have parents, you have teachers, but people fall through the cracks and they don't fulfill or see their real potential. And sometimes it just takes a stranger to say, hey. So what would you recommend for people who might want to start mentoring others And how would they get into that?
Yeah, so obviously at any school that has the ability for you to volunteer to mentor, I would highly recommend it. I think that one of the things that we always have to be careful of when we're mentoring is to not lord over, you know, young people, to just, you know, introduce ourselves, have some time to build rapport and relationship with them, because they don't want, they've got parents, so they don't want to feel like they're in a conversation with their parent. But also, you know, creating a situation where you maybe have them say a specific area that they might want help. Sometimes they're not able to, you know, notate that, but being able to listen into their lives and hear what they're saying, you can have a sense of what you see the area of struggle is. I'd also say, how many people work in an office or around folks that you might lead on a team or anything like that? Yeah. I think it's important to see young people or people who have a lot of potential and really try to encourage them in their potential. One of the things that I love to do as a manager was to help people see the things that I saw in them that they were not necessarily doing. So if I saw skill sets or their ability to take on more work, I would encourage them to consider looking at other opportunities, even if it meant not being on my team, because I would see certain potential in them and be able to highlight that. I mean, the other side is that as we progress in our careers, a lot of times we feel like, I'm grown, I should be able to figure this out, I can read a book. But honestly, we all need, I have a coach today as a tech entrepreneur. I have a coach, and my specific way that he helps me is I'm an introvert, really. It's not obvious to most people, but I'm an introvert. And so having enough energy to do what I have to do or what I want to do, it can be consuming, right? Being in this tech space is very extroverted. And he really helps me figure out, how do I figure out my day so I'm not expending so much energy that I don't have the time to do what I want to do? Or how am I, you know, am I staying up too late, right? And we literally break down, that's how I first started working with him, breaking down the day. How early do you get up? I was feeling resentful of having to focus, because being an entrepreneur really is 24/7 up here, you know, even though I'm right here. Right before I came in here, I found out that some pages on our website crashed. Okay, that's not what I wanted to hear. And so I'm trying to resolve for that right before I come up here, right? So being able to have someone who helps me figure out how I can be my best today is still really important. So there is a sense of humility that I think as an adult that we can have to allow people to speak into our lives and be able to help us navigate. And sometimes it's not forever, right? In Norma's case, I've been in her life for 15 years, Asia 13 years, but sometimes it's a couple months, you know, just trying to work through an issue.
So I'm gonna start opening up questions. And so I have a list here.
Okay.
And as a young person emerging into the business world, how would you recommend finding a mentor?
Oh, people ask that all the time, even when I'm out at tech events. I think you have to have an eye out for a person who wants to be helpful. Because a lot of times, you know, people might come up to me and say, hey, I'd really like if you could mentor me. Well, that's really big. Okay, what are we talking about? is there a specific issue that they're trying to solve for? Then maybe I can help you on that. But I don't know if I can be really available. So the key, I think, to even my mentors that I have today is I tell them a couple of things. One is, when I reach out to you, I'm going to be really clear about what I want. Right? And I'm going to be really respectful of your time. I think that that is something that I learned over time, because the initial you know, response might be, oh my God, you know so much, I just want to sit down with you for an hour. And people just don't have that kind of time. So looking for someone who kind of looks like they would be willing to be helpful, or even taking that approach of, I have this one particular thing I'm trying to solve for, can you help me? I only need 15 minutes of your time or hour of your time, and start it off like that. And the person may continue to give you more time, but at least be really, really mindful of their time, and very as clear as you can be about where you need help.
Great. So we have another question. Can you talk about informal mentoring? Some people don't think they can be a mentor or that they need a mentor. What would be your thoughts?
Yeah, so in some ways, you know, when with friends, we're kind of informally mentoring each other sometimes. I do think that, again, when we become adults, we can kind of be resistant to those things. But we don't know everything, and sometimes we need help for a lot of different areas. So, for instance, my mother has Alzheimer's. And when I was trying to, I'm her medical power of attorney, when I was trying to navigate, you know, trying to, you know, help her have a full life, this person at the state of Maryland essentially became my informal mentor. I said, here's what we're trying to solve for. And even though she's not even in, not covering the area that my mom was in, she just was willing. She said, hey, listen, if you ever need anything, just give me a call back. I'd be willing to help you. When people say that, say, great, thank you. And say, and I'll take you up on that. I always tell people, when you offer that,
yeah,
be willing to really follow through and provide that.
Yeah. Okay. I have another one up here. Aside from asking directly, how do you suggest that I can learn how best to interact and communicate with someone I am mentoring, whether it is by phone, text, social media, notes? A challenge for me as I mentor aspiring professionals.
Wow, that's a lot. go slow, right? You know, these things don't happen over one conversation. They really, it's a relationship.
Right.
So you got to build a relationship, and you got to build that trust. And here's the situation that can happen is a person as a mentor can extend themselves to 5-6 people, and now all of a sudden you don't have time. Right, so be, you know, honor your own time. What time do you really have available for someone, and what ways can you really be helpful? Somebody might ask you about something, you know, that you can't really be helpful. And while you might like them and you want them to be successful, you might say, hey, listen, maybe I can help you find another person who can mentor you here, but I'm probably not the best person.
Yeah, we have to know our own limits.
We do. We really do.
Other than building trust, what are three other keys to success for being a successful mentor?
So other than building trust, being a safe space, right? To giving that person the ability to know that you can be trusted to not be judgmental. It's hard to do that, especially if you're sort of a director kind of person. It's really hard. And I've sort of evolved from that space because I think I was really like that before.
Mm-hmm.
You should. So now what I say is I ask permission.
Yep.
And or sometimes I'll say, you know, what do you think about this? And it's a question instead of a direction of what to do. Or if it's something like sometimes with Norma, you know, she can go down really down a path where I really feel like I need to pull her back, and I'll ask her for permission. Like, I'm about to say something that's pretty strong, and I need your permission to do that. Know that I'm saying it for a good reason, because I care about you, and I want to make sure that, you know, that you can be successful in what you're doing. And once she gives me permission, then I'll go in hard and say the hard things. But I do think it's really important to be a safe space, mm-hmm. to ask permission when you really have something that's challenging that you want to communicate, so that the person doesn't feel like, you know, you're doing it just because, but you care about them and you don't want them to run in a ditch.
Yeah, it's really important. Are there lost causes? Should we always have faith in redemption?
We should always have faith, but there are lost causes. Let's be clear. There are people who, because they don't want it for themselves, right? We just can't make people want things for themselves. And there's just nothing we can do about that. And it's sad. I mean, we can be sad about it. It just is sad. And we'll watch them run into the ditch, right? And it'll be awful. But there's just, you know, I think that the in cases where I've interacted with young women, what I say to them is, listen, and this is oftentimes when they're not responding, I want you to know I'm always here for you. If you text me and you say, Ms. Moore, I need to talk to you, I'm going to let you know if I'm available. And if I'm not available, I'm going to tell you exactly when we can talk. But I always leave that door open.
That's great. How do you tell when someone is in need of a mentor versus simply needing to take more personal responsibility?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Because that's what we don't want to do, right? We don't want to do what they should be doing. So the way that I have tried to handle that is to ask them the question, is this something you should probably be doing? Like, I can help you think about how to do it, but this might be something that you know, should be taken care of. So, for instance, I'm going to think about this. So this other young lady that I used to mentor, and she's actually, I also met her in Juvenile Detention Center, and she really was struggling with having a conversation with her parents, right? And she was like, Miss Moore, you know, they're coming here tomorrow. Can you talk to them? No, I can't talk to them. But we can practice and I can show you how to do that. And she just didn't feel like she had the confidence to be able to do it. So maybe it's a confidence thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, I think that's what boundaries is all about. You know, we should only be doing the things that we can do, and the other person should be doing the things that only they can do. But to really ask the question back, is that something that you can do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Can you speak to mentoring teens and the dichotomy between a therapist, a friend, and a mentor?
Yeah, that's another really good question. So with Norma in particular, and with Asia, there were, like, right now with Norma, and by the way, I've gotten her permission to talk about our relationship as with Asia. You know, she's now 30, will be 31, and she's in that building relationships with men and trying to find, you know, a really good relationship. And so she's struggling in an area where she really needs a counselor, right? I've given her a book to read, but sometimes, you know, she needs something beyond what I can give her. And actually beyond what I want to. I might even know about it or might be able to help guide her, but she really needs someone else who's a professional. Who can walk her through. She's got some grief that she needs to process. You know, because she has been in survival mode the majority of her life, she skipped over major things like not having her father there. She skipped over major things about not having her mother be able to be a mother for her. While I know these things and I know how they're impacting her relationship with men, I think I'm not the best person to help her solve for that. I've given her a book, which, you know, again, helps her do some discovery. But I have told her, you know, this is a good moment right here to invest, because that's what it is, an investment in a counselor, therapist, to help you really navigate this and understand it. Because if you do it now, it's going to save you in building these relationships with men. But if you wait, I told her, I also have friends who are 48 and 49 who haven't done the work, haven't gotten the counseling, listening to girlfriends. It's just not enough.
Is a good teacher also a good mentor?
Well, that was my experience. I had two teachers in high school who were super, super supportive of my dreams in life and very, very helpful. I do think that teachers knowing themselves what the boundaries are with the young people are really important. My teacher knew what that boundary was. Like, he shared with me, you know, pointed me in directions of how to look for schools and things like that, or what to consider. He was a science teacher. I wanted to go to school to be a doctor. And so he was helpful. And he knew his boundary, right? You know, I never met with him outside of school. I always talked to him when we were right after class. If I had an appointment, he would always say, make sure you're telling your guidance counselor what I'm telling you. I mean, he knew his boundaries, and I think that that's the thing. Young people don't always know their boundaries, and they don't know the boundaries that adults are supposed to have with them. So, you know, that's the only thing I can say.
Yeah, that's very important. Are there specific techniques that you use to help mentees set goals and then achieve those goals?
Well, the first thing I say is don't put a whole lot of goals on your sheet, right? Because the key to achieving your goal is to do it at least once so that you can have sort of the construct of achieving a goal. But I do think it's helpful to walk them through, especially if they're just like graduating from high school or even graduating from college, to get some clarity. So some of the things that I do are to have them write down on a sheet of paper, you know, what do you want to do? What do you think you need to do? And when do you have to do it, right? And so when they write out all of those things, then we go through those lists and we say, okay, well, what can you do easiest right now? Because the experience of being successful is more important than having a whole bunch of goals. Because all you're going to be doing over life is repeating that construct of being successful and building confidence that I know that if I at least start this way, I can achieve this goal if I do these things, if I give myself a reasonable amount of time, if I don't get discouraged when I run into obstacles. Like, she's buying a house, Norma, and she's like, Miss Moore, they came back and they gave me these new, you know, requirements. I said, Norma, first time buying your house is a nightmare. It hadn't changed. It's a nightmare. So just say, okay, here's the obstacle. How do I solve the obstacle? You just can't get drawn into the emotion of, oh, my God, and the disappointment, because it's going to happen like 20 more times before she goes to a close. Yeah. So awful.
Can television, video games, books, etc., or the characters they contain be mentors, or do mentors need to be more personal?
Well, I think they can. As a matter of fact, on my phone I have several podcasts, and there are people in those podcasts that I sort of listen to. I have one podcast I listen to every day because, you know, sometimes I need a kick in my butt, and it's a 3-minute, you know, charge the hill, don't give up, and this guy pulls together a stream of consciousness coming from, you know, very notable people out there in business and tech. And sometimes I need that because I want to sleep in some days, and that's just not the answer for me. I'll tell you a perfect example. When I first started our company, I didn't know what I was doing. I literally did not know what I was doing. I had a good tech background. I've been a leader. But the world had changed so much since I had been in technology. So I Googled and startup and landed on this guy, Guy Kawasaki, and he wrote a book called The Art of the Startup. And I just started watching his videos on YouTube, and I read his book. You know, he provided a template for, you have to pitch like you see on Shark Tank. You have to do a pitch deck. I downloaded that. And here's the cool thing. One time one of the links in his video was broken, and he has email down there. I emailed him and said, hey, guy, the link is broken. Can you send me that? Now, what I didn't do was, I love your books, and can we have a call? I didn't do any of that, right? I just asked for the link and kept it moving. Well, that was 5 years ago, and I've just kind of followed him. I follow him on Twitter. I read his stuff. He's an ambassador, brand ambassador for Canva, if you know that product. And I've just followed him. So he just wrote a book, and he made a call out on Twitter for his followers to see if anybody would read his manuscript. And so I raised my hand because I love him. I think he's amazing. And we went through his manuscripts. I could only do like 100 pages, but he had about 40 people. Well, at the end, after his book was published, he sent us all a signed copy.
Wow.
And he included our names in his book. Fast forward a couple of months, I was just at South by Southwest. How many people know what that is? I pitched there in March, and he was going to be there. So he had sent an email about the book being sent out, and I responded and said, hey, you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Any way I can say hi, I don't have a badge. He's like, I'm going to be in this particular place, and meet me at 9:30 on whatever day, Sunday. I was like, great. So I got to meet him and have coffee with him. So it's 5 years, and he was my mentor. And I told him, I said, that's how I got started. That's how I began to get the confidence that I could probably do this.
So cool. You mentioned self-awareness mm-hmm. in your bio. How does that play into mentoring?
Well, how many of you have seen the Netflix show, The Fyre Festival? Okay.
Fyre Festival?
Fyre Festival. F-Y-R-E Festival. Please go watch it. Or Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes, HBO. Oh. Have you heard of the Theranos company? Okay. Watch either one of those things. This will illustrate my point. When you are a leader or in a position of authority with someone, if you don't have self-awareness, you will run people in a ditch. And when you watch both of those documentaries, you will see how these magnanimous people, smart people, basically ran people in a ditch. In the Fyre Festival, not to spoil it all, Coachanel, if you ever heard of that before, it's a music festival. He created this music festival, raised $27 million. He supposedly secured a private island. The whole thing blew up. I mean, it just blew up. But the people on his team, they just followed him to the end. It was absolutely the most bizarre thing. So as a person in authority and a leader, you got to be self-aware because you don't want to, you know, drag people into a ditch. It causes people afterwards to not trust, and it causes people to question their own, like, what's wrong with me that I would follow a person who's going to leave me in a ditch? And it's so important to have self-awareness. It really is important. It's one of the most important things as a leader and as a person, really, in life.
Yeah, and so many of us these days are oblivious to anybody around us. Mm-hmm. And we see that every day in the grocery store or just walking down the street. And
yeah.
It's So here's a question. What are things you usually, I mean, you've covered most of this, but what are things that you cover in a mentorship meeting? And wouldn't it be more specific to that individual and their needs?
It really is. I think it's so unique. Even with my coach that I have, he's a mentor coach. My coach, I speak to really regularly. I was speaking to him every single day. Now I'm speaking to him Tuesday and Thursdays. My mentors, I don't talk to them that regularly, But when I text, they are like immediately available, you know, and they respond. So it is very situational. I don't think there's a really, a prescription for doing it any kind of way. I think the first things are you have to build the relationship, build trust, and become a safe place for that person to share.
Right, and I think you've emphasized being not judgmental, and that goes with the safe space.
Yeah.
And people can grow in that relationship, and they do.
I think after
those boundaries or whatever are established. So I don't know if there's other questions or if people have comments, but mentoring is something that has affected us all, I think, at some point in our life. And I think it's very important to reach out to people who might actually be headed somewhere else, and they have the potential to be headed in a different direction, but you just need to give them that space, that trust. And I think also one of the things that you've really emphasized is you have to build a relationship. It's not something that just starts up one day and you say, oh, okay, I'm going to go mentor somebody at 12 o'clock. And oh, it's 1 o'clock, that's done. It can be a short relationship, or it can be a decades-long relationship that keeps going. I know... when I was in college, I had an incredible professor, and I was flipping burgers in the food line one day. And I was taking mineralogy from him, and he came through, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm working." "What does it look like?" And he said, "You come and speak to me in the morning, and I'm going to offer you a job in the geology lab at my undergraduate school." And I thought, wow, what's wrong with that guy? And I think I was about 19 years old at that time. And I was an introvert. And this guy hired me in his lab. So that was a safe space for me. But he actually required me, I had to rebuild an X-ray diffractometer, which was pretty hard, and I wasn't sure. I wasn't mechanical at all. He gave me this book called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Wow.
And it was all about focus, and that he couldn't really help me with focus, but I needed to focus before I could learn how to rebuild that X-ray diffractometer.
Wow.
And I'm 65 now, and I to this day we still communicate.
Wow, that's amazing.
And he was my lifeline to making me think, oh, maybe there is something here, and maybe I can do things. But he definitely knew his boundaries. I knew my boundaries. I knew when to pass them and not. And usually it had to be set up on time. But it's been a very satisfying relationship over these years. And there will be a year that goes by and I haven't heard from him. And then I'll get a little email or text or something like that. But I just think I would not be who I am today had it not been for that individual. And then there's other people, you know, who have been involved in my life. And I think it's so important to have these mentors. And I'm sure most people have a little bit extra time. And when you get a little bit older, you do have experience that I think can be so helpful for younger people, because so often as a younger person, you just think, oh my God, there's this obstacle, and then there's this obstacle, and this, and why shouldn't I just give up?
Yeah.
But as with Norma, you know, she realized, well, I could go to just work, but that wasn't satisfying, and it wasn't going to do what she really needed.
And so you just have to keep at it, I think, and to open doors for other people to say, yeah, you may have made a mistake, or you may have, you know, found that obstacle, one that you couldn't get over. Let's try it a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one thing that I want to say, that mentoring is not convenient.
Yeah.
It's just not convenient. So while we might have in our mind, we do have an appointment at 4, count on them to be late maybe. Or they might need some help or support outside of the normal, you know, hours that you might have met with them. But to just, you know, if you're not available, say, I'm not available right now, here's when I am available, or in our day of texting, you know, is there something you want to ask me over text? That we could start here, right? I won't be able to have a live conversation. But that's very true. Oftentimes, a mentor can see the potential in the other person that they can't see themselves, and our job might be to just build that confidence that it's there, and maybe give them little examples of how you see it, so they could go, "Oh, wow, I never thought about that."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I had a young woman who was working in our project. And she couldn't understand why she was never promoted. Mm. And so I worked in the federal government, and so you have different GS levels, mm-hmm. and requirements for these different things. And it was very clear that it was required for her to write a report. And she said, I can't do that. I said, listen, you've written a master's thesis. You can write a report.
Yes.
And I don't know. And I said, you can do it. And, well, how do I do it? I said, here's some papers you can look at. I didn't tell her how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave her examples and templates. And I said, so this is really a data dump. So you can do this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she did it, and she got her promotion. And so I think mentoring is not something that you just hand to people,
mm-hmm.
that people have to actually work towards that. And you have to work with them as well, and it's difficult sometimes.
It is.
Like you say, it's not something that you just set your schedule and that it always is a convenient thing.
It's not convenient.
And sometimes I think it's heartbreaking because you want to see so much good for that person, but then again, sometimes they've been faced with another obstacle of life. And I think one of the things or a lesson I have learned over life is that life deals you a deck of cards, and it's how you play those cards, and then trying to help people, how do you see those cards, and which card do you want to play first?
Mm-hmm.
And this goes to your comment about, let's start maybe with what you can get accomplished,
mm-hmm.
and get some confidence under you that, oh, I actually got that done.
Yep.
And I could use that.
We all can use that.
So I don't know if anybody has additional questions, but if not, I want to thank you, Kimberly, so much. And it's great to have you come from D.C. and share your experiences. And it's great to have people like you in the world making such a difference with other people in the world. And I would encourage other people out there in this audience to go make a difference. And just, you'll see people on the street, and it's that that accidental encounter that I've always found are really fascinating in life, and those are the ones you need to sometimes grab onto. And it takes you in paths that you yourself didn't know you were going to go. So... thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.